And welcome back to the podcast. This is Tweester.
And this is the Deuteronomist.
And we're here for another bonus mini-sode about our buddies the Snakes, Brother Snake. This is six snake statistics.
Oh, yep.
Yeah.
I jumped in there late.
And now, if you don't know what this is from, why we're doing six snake statistics, get clue them in, Deuteronomist. Why are we doing this?
So we did an episode about Genesis 1, 2, and 3, and in Genesis 2, chapter 2 is when the snake appears.
Which is the part 2 of the Genesis podcast.
Yes, it's part 2, Genesis 2 and 3, that's where the snake or serpent or dragon or whatever you want to imagine it as appears and tempts them. So we wanted, though, to ground our mythological discussions and say some fun and hopefully interesting snake statistics.
Snakes get a bad rap sometimes in mythology.
Absolutely.
It seems across the board. Mm-hmm. So they got a PR problem. So, you know, we're not going to sugarcoat it and say that they're all cuddly and that nothing bad can ever happen. We want to just tell you a little bit about snakes. You decide.
Absolutely.
So I'm going to bounce some snake statistics off of you here, Deuteronomist.
Yeah.
Number one, there are approximately 3,600 known species of snake in the world, with about 600 species of venomous snakes. Of those 600, only 200 can kill or significantly wound a human. That's 7%.
That's 7%?
7%.
So only 7% can, like... What kind of a human, though?
Just average. So, you know...
Like a child? I bet you more snakes could beat up a child.
Sure. But everything can.
Yeah, but, like, you know, I'm big. I like to think that less than 7% could take me on. Like, maybe 3%.
I mean, you're...
Like, I'm a tall guy. I lift weights. I work out. I try hard. I'd like to think that I could... I think I could reduce those numbers.
A person in peak form, right? And in the part of their life where they're no longer a child, but they're not, you know, elderly yet, they can probably survive a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And if we were the only people that existed on the planet, all these numbers would be different.
You know what? I'm going to argue that if you put me in a ring... with any snake, they can't wear gloves. Automatic disqualification. I don't think a single snake could beat me.
Now, a black mamba is... this isn't a snake statistic. I just know this about a black mamba.
Yeah.
They're really aggressive. They will actually chase you. Most snakes will not do that. Most snakes are shy. That snake will actually chase you down and try to bite you multiple times. They do like this rapid fire thing where they go bite, 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 bite. Like, they're fucking nuts. They're one of the most aggressive snakes and they're super venomous.
Well, that's definitely a win for me then, because they're not allowed to attack until the bell rings. So, absolutely.
They'd be disqualified even though you're dead.
Yeah, yeah, like, zero snakes.
But I won.
Zero snakes.
They call their bite the kiss of death, because you can die within 30 minutes.
Really?
They're nuts.
Like, is that another average human statistic?
It is, but
I think it would take 35.
Untreated, when it comes to black mambas, the number of the survival rate for an untreated black mamba bite is 0%. It literally kills any person it bites if you do not get treated. And since you only have 30 minutes, you got to be damn near a hospital.
But wait, isn't that like...
Or you have to be carrying anti-venom with you while you hike.
Isn't there some sort of bias, though, in that statistic?
How so?
Because all the people... Like, let's say there was someone who got bit and was like, oh, fuck, I'm not going to the hospital. And then they survived.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're never going to know.
Well, we can only know confirmed cases.
Yeah. But if they don't go get it treated, then we can't confirm the case.
Most people aren't so nonchalant about getting bitten by a snake, especially if you live...
Oh, you've never met my dad.
But if you live in a region...
If he got bit by a snake, he'd try to fill the pierce wounds with, like, super glue, and then wrap it, and he'd be like, I'm fine.
Yeah, but your dad doesn't live in an area with a black mamba. They're, like, legendary if you live in an area that has them.
So,
so much
like
so
lucky?
That... You would, like, scream. You'd be like, oh, yeah. Fuck, it's a black mamba.
Oh, my God.
Like, you're just, it's into the culture there.
I believe you. Yeah, he'd probably
But I bet you could beat up, like, probably 3,599 snakes.
No, there were 36,000, right?
3,600.
Wait, 36...
3,600 known species
of snake. Oh, 3,600. Okay, I thought you were saying, like, I can only do 10%. No. Okay, yeah, totally.
Most of them you could probably beat.
Yeah, absolutely.
Number two is kind of a listicle thing.
Okay.
Here are the top five countries with most deaths by snake bite. All right. India with 15,000. And by the way, I've rounded these numbers to a nice round number. They didn't all just come out this perfect.
Yeah, if I don't get round statistics...
Can you even remember them?
Yeah. No, they're false.
Indonesia with 11,500. Nigeria with 9,900. Pakistan with 8,300.
Mm-hmm.
And Bangladesh with 8,000.
8,000?
8,000.
I would love to see, like, these statistics...
That's per year.
Oh, that's a year? Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I would love to see these statistics, like, just compared with, like... I don't even know what I would be asking, but I'd want to know, like, how prevalent wearing shoes is.
Oh, like, do you mostly get bit if you're going barefoot in that
area?
Yeah,
if it's more... So, I had a friend growing up...
I mean, it makes sense because they're on the ground that your feet and ankles would be bit the most. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I had a friend who grew up in Peru, and he never... Like, when he came over to the States, like, he didn't wear shoes.
Mm-hmm.
He was an odd college friend. And
everyone's
got one. And it just wasn't part of their culture down there to run around with shoes on, which is fine.
I mean, it sounds comfortable. If everyone was doing it, I'd be like, sweet. I mean, maybe he's in an area, he doesn't have to worry about gravel and shit. That's not fun.
Well, your feet, apparently, they adapt. Like, he used to run on concrete.
Oh, that's right. They callus over, right?
I don't know, we just have to go
through the pain period.
I'm not a podologist? What's a foot doctor?
I don't know.
Did I just make that up?
Maybe.
Comment below. What?
Maybe a podologist is someone who specializes in pedos. I don't think it's a podologist.
All right.
Move on to the next one.
Yeah, let's move on.
Number three, the green anaconda of South America can grow to 28 feet and 280 pounds. There is no documented case of an anaconda killing a human. No documented case.
Uh-huh.
People can spin old wives' tales as much as they'd like to, or old husbands' tales, or their fishing stories or whatever, but there hasn't been a single documented case. If they were really man killers, you would think that at some point it would be documented.
Are babies humans?
Yeah, they are.
There's gotta be a case, right?
They're
like an anaconda comes in late at night and eats a baby. That's gotta be a
You're
thing.
Thinking of a python, and that's because we bring pythons.
Oh, what did I say?
This is an anaconda.
Oh, okay.
An anaconda is a type of python, but people don't keep anacondas as pets. People keep like large boa constrictors and stuff as pets sometimes. And the stories you're probably thinking of are when people brought boa constrictors into captivity.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're fine around fully grown and developed humans, but they see a baby and they don't see it the same way. And so they've, you know.
Yeah.
You can look those stories up. The same way. I think there's one that happened in New York City that someone, like, I mean, there's bad pet owners that they don't pay attention to shit and, you know, they don't do what they should.
How many
don't think about
it. How many pets do you think an anaconda eat each year?
Each year?
Yeah.
An anaconda?
Yeah. There's no recorded case of them eating
a human. I didn't look up if, you know, if they're attacking other pets or not. They probably have. They're pretty sluggish most of the day. I did, when I was reading up on them, it said they're pretty sluggish most of the day. And, you know, they leave people alone because, you know, they're not really, like, aggressive. They're not going to fight something they don't think that they can eat. And we're way too big. They're like, no, I'm not trying to do that. I need to eat something that I can eat. Now, there has been, like, there's videos that you can find online of an anaconda eating a small hippo.
Jesus.
And that's insane. But the hippo would have had to be dead already, I think. Because...
A small hippo?
To open your mouth that
wide.
Small
hippo is like a normal human.
Yeah, but it was like laying there. Like, it wasn't fighting back or anything, so I think it was dead already.
A normal human that's, like, on, like...
That's what? Taking
tranquilizers? Yeah.
So, basically, the mafia... If the mafia tranks you and leaves you near a river with an anaconda.
I think we have a new selling point for, like, areas. I think we're doing it all wrong, trying to get teens not to take heroin products. I think a new advertising campaign would be warning them of the dangers of pythons eating tranquilized humans.
Yeah, if you do heroin,
there's
while
a chance,
you're incapacitated, there's a chance that a snake... A giant anaconda, or you know what? An anaconda is the only one that could do it. No other boa could do it. Could eat you. And that's the only way that could ever possibly happen.
Look, there out there, there's some snake listening to this podcast, listening to me talk trash.
And it's like...
He's the contender. He's like, I'm going to come up there. I'm going to kick that guy's ass. I'm looking for tranquilized
kids. Or it's like
heroin
addicts, of course.
Yeah. It's, oh, I'm going to start small.
Don't do heroin.
Yeah.
And you'll never have to worry about this problem.
Yeah, I had to... Yeah, since the pedo reference, I wanted to.
You're looking for some redemption.
Yeah, it's a positive message. Don't do heroin. Don't do heroin, kiddos.
All right, number four. Number four.
Number four.
Between 1997 and 2002, the Wildlife Conservation Society offered a $50,000 reward to anyone in the world who could produce a 30-foot snake. The prize was never collected. 30 feet is 9.14 meters. Why did they do this? Because people, again, the myths and the old wives' tales and the fishing stories about, oh, I saw a 48 or 50-foot snake, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, all right, well, we'll give you $50,000 for it. You know. Oh, well, I can't capture it now. We'll give you 97 to 98, 98 to 99, 2000, 2000, 2001. 2000. We'll give you 5 years to catch it. Oh, I still can't do it. Like, come on.
You know,
basically, they were calling everyone's bluff.
They were trying to.
They were. They were like, no, this is like our job. This is what we do. And we're telling you that they don't get that big. And people are like, well, my cousin's roommate's brother had told a story about seeing one that big. And it's like, okay, $50,000. Go track them down. If that was actually true, you know how many people... would go get, like, find a way to contact that person and that person and that person to get that snake and go get that $50,000?
I mean, it's true.
It would absolutely happen.
You know what? You know what my hot take on that is?
What?
My hot take is that it takes 6 years to breed a 30-foot snake.
This is
someone heard about it in 1997 and they're like, I'm already breeding snakes.
I could breed large snakes.
I'm just
going to
get the largest ones and breed them. And then it took them about 6 years, and they're like, I'm going to claim that prize. And someone heard that they were like, Jimmy's coming, and he's got a blue ribbon snake. He's got a winner.
He's coming, and they're like, oh, 5 years is the cutoff.
But done. We're done.
Jimmy's like, no, I need six.
No, I've been... It was a 29, and now he's got like a 31-foot snake.
Now, to speak of anomalies, right,
yeah.
That doesn't mean there could never be... A 31 or 33
yeah,
or 34.
Yeah, there's always genetic outliers,
it's just that
right?
People were lying about this, about, you know, how big over-reporting
absolutely.
Large snakes so much that they're like, okay, let me show you how many of those people are full of shit. We'll give you $50,000 if you bring it to us.
Well, you know, it feels also a little unfair. I mean, you rounded on the second statistic, right? Like, if I run into an anaconda and it's like 27 and a half feet, I'm not saying I saw a 27 and a half foot anaconda. I'm going to say I saw
a 30 foot anaconda, right? Yeah. But this is because...
Hell, if I see a 24 foot anaconda, I'm probably still saying a 30 foot anaconda.
This is because of the, you know how in academics they're like, hey, this is what we've recorded. This is about as big as they get.
Yeah.
And then a lot of other people going like... Oh no! I saw one that was like 35, and they're like, well, okay. So we're hearing of all these people that are saying they saw way bigger ones.
Yeah.
So
totally.
Start bringing them to us, and then we can record it. And they're like, no, $50,000, still nah. So you're lying.
We're just really bad. But also, too, how much money did they spend getting that out to the public?
Edge reported it in like magazines and stuff.
Dude, I know nothing about breeding snakes, and I feel like if I knew I could get 50,000.
They're not talking about breeding. People were reporting already seeing these things.
Yeah, but I'm going to get them on a technicality. I don't care about them being out in the wild. I want to get them on
Or
like
saying that, like, my second cousin has one that's bigger than that. Like, you know, the kind of like bullshit that, like, people tell just because they're bored and they make shit up?
People just don't have a really good grasp of like math or statistics or anything like that.
I think it's partly that, but when we go back to the reference I kept making is old fishing stories, right?
Yeah, totally.
What are old fishing stories? Old fishing stories are when someone goes on a fishing trip and they come back and they wildly exaggerate how big of a fish they caught because they want clout or because they think it makes them look cool. But people don't just do that with fish. People do that with all sorts of stuff. Like, they just pick on a subject that people are talking about and they'll just say, oh, well, I have experienced one that was way bigger. Just because, you know?
I think, I like to think, man, we're really getting off on a tangent here.
That's okay.
You know, I like to think, though, I like to see the best in people, and I like to think that, like, it's not people just trying to brag, it's that humans, like, we just don't have a very good grasp of what numbers mean, mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is, like, I'll lift weights, and if I, like, tell mom, like, hey, I'm gonna go squat, like, 100 pounds, like, she'll be like, well, don't hurt yourself, be careful, 100 pounds, if you're out there listening, that is not a lot of weight, like... That's not a lot of weight at all.
Like, if you aren't familiar with something, you don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, do you lift weights at all? Do you follow any, like, powerlifting?
No, I don't follow it. Like, I lift weights, but I do it so inconsistently that, like, if you ask me, oh, what's the normal amount? I'd be like, I don't know.
So what do
I
you...
I go there and I lift until I can't lift anymore. So what do you think... Oh, this is too much.
What do you think, like, a world record bench is?
The world record bench?
Yeah, what do you think? Just to give just a normal man's idea of, like, what would be the heaviest bench.
Like, oh, man. Is it, like, 800 pounds?
That's really, really close. Julius Maddox, no one has ever benched over 800 pounds, but right now Julius Maddox, he had the world record, I think it's... He has a world record right now, it's his. And he did 750, and I think he just did, like, 7... Oh, God... You'll have to look it up. I think it's like 770.
So it's between 700 and 800.
But his goal is the road to 800. Like, he's going to be the first person to do unassisted, because people have equipped lifted heavier than 800, but he's going to be the first person without.
I'm a good guesser.
That is a good guess. So that's a really heavy...
I was
heavy...
like, you know, it can't be 300 or 400 pounds. There are people out there who are crazy strong.
Oh, yeah,
especially
absolutely.
If they're turning it into their job. Then I was like, but 1,000 seems like too much.
Oh.
We're still human.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'll just settle on 800. And even that was still too high.
Yeah, like it... No one's done 800, and he's looking like he might.
That'd be insane.
It would.
We would have to do some statistics on him.
Like, an 800 is, like, a very, very good deadlift. If you can deadlift 800, like, that is very good. That is, like, that's almost elite level, depending on how much you weigh. And he's about to bench that. Like, that's
ridiculous.
It is incredible. All right, sorry. Well,
no, we're good. You ready for number 5?
Yeah.
Number 5. Rats and mice spread over 35 diseases. A medium-sized black snake can eat 192 mice a year. That's 9 pounds of rodents. Now, the reason I told you about the mice spreading over 35 diseases
mm-hmm.
is because this is one of the things that snakes do for us. If we didn't have any control over the rat and mice population...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Black Plague.
Absolutely.
That's how the Black Plague was spread.
Is that like...
It's not just rats and mice. Ticks that feed off of the mice.
Oh.
That's how they spread diseases indirectly to humans. But they also spread diseases directly to humans by bites, leftover saliva, feces.
Mm-hmm.
They can spread these diseases directly and indirectly. They're just huge disease spreaders.
So is that like... 36 diseases that like humans can catch, or is that just
that humans
there are only
can.
36 diseases, period?
No. It's saying there are 30, like, mice can spread more diseases than just that, but there's only 35 that are known to be spread to humans.
Huh. If you other animals were sentient, like we are,
mm-hmm.
and like did research into this stuff, like how many diseases do you think humans spread to other animals?
That's the thing. There's not a lot of...
How do you... No one's looked into... No one gives... The only people who would do it is the animals, right? Like, I don't give a shit.
Yeah, no. Okay, so...
But there's got to be, like...
I have a lot of...
There's an animal running around out there that's got, like, meningitis because some human...
So, the thing is that that's actually fairly unique. animals and humans don't give each other a lot of sicknesses.
Yeah.
That's why it because they're so such different species.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's worth mentioning whenever something can be spread between animal and human.
Yeah.
You know,
that'd be interspecies.
It's more unique.
Huh.
So that's why, like, you know, we can have a cold and the dog's hanging around and we're not going to give it to him.
Mm.
You know?
Lucky bastard.
But there are things that can spread between humans and other animals. And it's worth looking up, especially if you're a pet owner, what those things are that can spread between, say, like, if you have a dog or a cat.
Mm.
But there's lots of stuff. Most, it seems, are not only diseases,
mm-hmm.
but viruses are species specific because they're just made. You know, viruses attack your DNA and RNA
mm-hmm.
in a cell, and then they spread. Well, the DNA and RNA of, you know, say a cat is obviously very different from a human. There's things that we share, but, you know, that's why people are always mention it whenever there is interspecies.
It's like a key that accidentally opens two locks.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, they don't just talk about any old animal when it comes to spreading diseases. If you could imagine what our view of cats and dogs would be like if they spread diseases just as prevalently as rats did. But rats are more unique in that they can spread so many diseases to humans. It is because they are very closely related to us in many ways in their DNA. That's why whenever they do drug testing and things like that, they do it on rats before they go to human trials. Because they're so similar.
Hey, random side note.
What's up?
Random side note about rats in medical experiments.
Uh-huh.
I learned this recently. A lot of people for a while were afraid that, first of all, hot take, artificial sugars are fine. Like aspartame, all that stuff, fine. Hot take. Heard it here.
Mm-hmm. Just in moderation, right?
Even in superhuman doses.
in
medical experiments.
Start snorting it, folks.
Even in medical experiments, like, it's one of the most tested products on the planet. Now, there was some research that said it caused cancer. And it was specifically research in rats. And it's because rats cannot metabolize aspartame.
Huh.
So, and by metabolize, I just mean breakdown. Their bodies can't do it.
Okay.
Ours can. So, yeah, they're great for medical research. And yeah, you're totally right there. Just random side note.
Yeah.
They can't break down aspartame.
They're just that next step, you know.
In evolution?
No, the next step in a... Oh, we have...
We've done tests, and we think this
might do... Like, we think this drug might help in this way.
Yeah.
But before we go straight to humans, first we're going to see what it does to rats.
Yeah,
because if it does, like way too many bad things to rats, then we know that we're probably not ready for human testing either.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you've got some theoretical reason why this might work.
Yeah.
Let's see if it works in
rats first. Yeah.
Or anecdotal evidence, so you move to animals, and then from animals you move.
Hopefully not just anecdotal.
Well, I mean, right, you can't, or you've got research
that's... It's me, the anecdotal scientist. I'll try anything that someone said before.
Well, I mean, you got some stuff you gotta try, right?
Well, yeah.
All I'm trying to point out is that first level of evidence is, like, anecdotal. They have research that's hypothesis generating instead of hypothesis testing. You can have theoretical reasons why something would work,
mm-hmm.
but then that, you're right. That,
hopefully it's all based on something, though, not just...
Yeah, absolutely.
My uncle said that you could spray Windex on cancer and it would go away. Let's test it! No, why? No.
Well, the reason I know a little bit about all this is because I'm really into, like, sports science and exercise science. And yeah, if you get enough bodybuilders anecdotally saying, like, something works, like, they'll test it.
Well, okay, yeah, because then it starts to slowly become academic because now you're talking...
Oh, no, it's not academic. It just...
No, I'm saying, like...
It becomes prevalent, right?
Yeah, it becomes prevalent, so then it's worth looking into at that point versus just, like, a couple people said it.
Yeah, but if we were being honest, it's just totally anecdotal.
It is totally anecdotal, but then at least it's worth looking into.
So that first level's real low. First level's real low.
Very low. Very low.
All right, rats. Great. Diseases.
Yeah. So the crux of that is, hey, Brother Snake, thanks for helping us out by keeping the old disease spreaders lower.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we don't need to exterminate, you know, all rats and mice across the planet, but we got to keep that population down. Otherwise, bad things could happen.
That's good.
Number six. There are about 70 species of sea snakes. They live in the Indian and Pacific Oceans. Sea snakes and their cousins, krates with a K, are some of the most venomous snakes that exist. But they aren't very threatening to humans because they are shy and gentle, and their fangs are too short to do much damage.
Hmm. Wow.
Pretty cool, right?
Do you think that they can bite underwater? Can they bite underwater?
Yeah. They're sea snakes. They got to.
What? No.
They don't dwell on land. Like, they don't just... I'm not talking about snakes that can swim and they mainly hang out on land. Yeah. I'm talking about they live in the sea.
Well, what if they can't... What if they... I feel like if they open their mouth, they drown. Like, maybe they have to, like... Maybe they're attacking birds.
No, I didn't look into, like, their breathing system.
Yeah?
But no, they live in the sea.
I know that... Wow, they live in the sea?
Like,
mother yeah. effers. Next thing we're gonna know, we're gonna find snakes in space.
There are... But you know, there are animals that live in the sea...
Yeah. That swim no. up to take the... No way!
Hold
no.
on, let me finish.
Bullshit!
That was just a pause. Bullshit. That wasn't a period. That was a pause. That was a comma best.
There's no... Find me one animal that lives
that
in
they,
the sea.
That come up for air every now and then. Yeah. So, like, I don't know if the snakes do that. I didn't look that part up. I don't want to say either way.
Sure.
If they breathe underwater, if they come up for air, I don't know. I just know that it did say they live in the sea. They are sea dwellers. Now, nice. I've got a bonus one.
They don't vacation in the sea. They, like, they live there for real.
Yeah. I've got a bonus one. This isn't a snake statistic. It's just, I just thought I'd mention it because it's mentioned in our snake statistics.
Okay, good.
A krait, the one I just mentioned, mm-hmm. It's spelled K-R-A-I-T. It's just a different genus of snake. I just wanted to mention that so there was no confusion and be like, wait, what the fuck? He said krait. What's a krait? It's just a different genus of snake.
Okay, so it's like, it's related. It's like a snake.
It's like
cousin.
A yeah. It's like a cousin.
It's like a sea snake.
It's kind of like the way that dogs and wolves are related, but they're obviously not the same thing.
What?
They're just a different. You know, they're just cousins.
They're like good friends. Are you friends with your cousins?
Yeah, I mean, I have a lot of them. I'm not close with all of them, but yeah, some of them.
Oh.
A lot of cousins.
Do your cousins listen to this?
I don't know.
Well, now they know. They're not going to now, now that you're not close. They're like, but, am I the
or,
close
or are they all, yeah, am I one of the close ones? You know what? They know which ones are close because they probably think the same thing. They're like, it's really easy. Do they talk to me or not? It's that easy. It's pretty obvious. Do we talk or do we not talk?
Hear that? If you're Tweester's cousin and you're not, like, talking to him, you should talk to him. Give him a call. Tweester, you should call your cousins, too.
That's a lot of calling. This goes both ways. Man. It's a lot of call. You don't know how many cousins I have.
Seven.
You think I have seven cousins?
No, we'll make it a nice round number. I'm going to round it up to 10.
Okay, I have over 30 cousins.
Over 30?
I have 9 aunts.
If you can produce 30 cousins in one room, then I'll pay you $50,000.
Not close enough. You know what? If I offer
if you can
them
get
money,
close enough.
I'll be like, I need to get you all in one place, and then I'll start divvying out money to you.
$50,000 split 31 ways is
pretty good. It's still good. It's still money. Yeah. How many cousins do you have?
First cousins?
Yeah, we're going first cousins. We don't need to go all the way down the line. Otherwise, my number is going to have to grow too.
1, 2, 3, 4. 5, 6, 7. 7.
You have 7?
Yeah,
is that why you said that I had 7? You were projecting?
No, wait, maybe I was. I think it's 7. I'm going to feel real stupid if it's not 7.
Well, clearly you're not close with all of them if you're not getting the number.
No, I'm close with all of them. It's just ranges are very, very different.
Oh, you're close with all of them?
Yeah.
But you can't tell if there's 7 or not?
I think of them as, I'm so close with them, they're filed under the family folder in my mind.
Uh-huh.
So that's why. That's why. They're not filed under... I
mean, anyone can tell you how many brothers or sisters they have because you're It's easy, right? If you're that close with your cousins, I think you'd be able to tell me the exact number confidently.
I'm telling
like
you.
Like a confident Deuteronomist.
I know each one. Let me go through them again in my head.
You know, it's okay. We'll save that
okay,
for...
Okay, good,
we'll
good.
Talk about four, family another time.
Yeah, I think it's... Yeah. Yeah. It's seven. It's got to be seven.
So thank you for joining us for six snake statistics. And one bonus thing about what crates are.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that this has helped shape your opinion about snakes in some way. And you don't see them as the literal devil.
Mm-hmm. And if you do,
There's, hopefully you don't think there's 3,600 different species of devil roaming the planet. That would suck.
Yeah.
That would make the world a scarier and less fun place.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And go listen to, if you haven't already, go listen to the podcast on Genesis Part 2.
Yes. If you don't know why we're doing this.
Yeah. It's worth a listen.
And if you like this mini-sode and you didn't check out our mini-sode on five Fox Facts. Or Fox Facts 5.
Fox Facts 5.
Then you can go check that out, too.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of content on here.
Yeah.
Consume.
At your leisure. Well, until next time, this has been Tweester.
And this was the Deuteronomist.
And we will catch you guys next time.